Morning. Today's daf in Pesachim, daf pei. We're in the seventh parak of Pesachim. We're learning about the Karban Pesach, and we are focusing right now on the inyan of tumah. When the Jewish people are tameh, so the Karban Pesach can be brought in a state of tumah. It's not the only carbon that can be brought in a state of tumah, but what is unusual about it is that it's brought in a state of tumah, and the carbon is also consumed as well. What conditions have to be met in order for the Karban Pesach to be brought? So that we saw in the Mishnah on yesterday's daf, Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says that if I have either all the Jewish people tameh or the majority of the Jewish people being tameh, and specifically tumas meis, we're going to highlight that today in today's daf. So then that would create a scenario in which the Jewish people are allowed to bring Karban Pesach in a state of tumah. There are two other scenarios that also we learned about in the Mishnah. The second scenario is where the Kohanim are Tameim. That also would allow for Pesach to be brought B'tumma. And a third scenario would be where the Kalim are Tameh. That the Mishnah didn't teach us, but we learned that in the Braisa in yesterday's daf. If you don't have the majority, if you don't have the majority of the people being Tameh, so then the Karban Pesach is not brought in the state of Tumah. Rather, the majority who are Tahorim are going to bring the Karban Pesach, and any of these individuals who are Tameh are going to be simply pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Good, that's the baseline halacha. Yesterday, a lot of discussion, which we're going to continue with today. It's going to take us well into today's daf, and that's going to be what's going to happen in the case of Mechza. In the case of Mechza, when you have 50-50, so what do we do under those circumstances? There are three opinions that we recorded yesterday. Rav Kahana and Rav Kahana. Two versions of Rav Kahana. So Rav says, Mechza. So the way Rav views 50% is 50% is viewed as a non-minority, otherwise known as a majority. So generally speaking, we view majority as 51%. But vis-a-vis this halacha, so Rav says that you're 50%, that's already considered a majority. So when you have 50-50, what do you have? You have two majorities. Two majorities, what do you do? So Rav's position was, we saw this yesterday, is that we are going to have the two groups offering the Karban Pesach, the Tahor group offering in a state of Tahara, and the Tameh group offering it in a state of Tumah. Logistically, I'm sure it is going to be challenging, but that's Shitas Rav. Rav Kahana says no, that 50% is not considered a majority. So what do you do? So according to Rav Kahana in version number one, the first version of Rav Kahana, where 50% is not considered a majority, so the Taharim are going to do it on Pesach Rishon, and the Tameim are going to be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. The second version of Rav Kahana, really interesting position, which is that the first one is going to be doing it, the 50% that are Tahar going to do it on Pesach Rishon, and the other 50%, so they're not going to offer Karban Pesach that year at all. Okay, they're just as a technicality, they're not going to bring it. Now they're not going to bring it on Pesach Rishon because they're not a majority. Tumah is only dechui or hutra b'tzibor only when they're a majority. They're not. Why not push them off to Pesach Sheni because they're also not a minority. The only people that get pushed off to Pesach Sheni is only a miut. 50% is not a miut. It's not a rov, but it's also not a miut. And so therefore, they don't get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. And so, okay, it's an unusual circumstance, but it's an exemption. It's a patur in terms of why they don't bring Pesach Sheni. Good, those are the three positions. We are going to start off this morning. We're a little bit behind. Tanya Kavase. We are halfway down on Ayin Tes Amud Beis, and we're going to start off this morning with Braisa supporting all three positions. So Tanya Kavase Derav, Tanya Kavase Derav, Kahana Ketrei Lishnei, Tanya Kavase Derav. So here we go now with Braisa supporting each of the positions. So Braisa number one, an exact repetition of that which Rav said. Well, obviously the Braisa came before Rav, but good, that's Braisa number one. Tanya Kalisha Kama de Rav Kahana. So here we have a second Braisa. This is gonna go like Rav Kahana version number one. Harusha Yisrael Mechza Torah Mechza Tameim Torah Nosin Es Rishon Utameh Nosin Es Sheni. So here we have it. The 50% that are Tahor going to be offering on Pesach Rishon. The 50% that are Tameh are going to be offering it on Pesach Sheni, just like Rav Kahana version number one. And Tanya Kalisha Basa de Rav Kahana. And now we have a third Braisa. And the third Braisa reads, Harisha Yisrael Mechza Torah Mechza Tameim Torah Nosin Es Rishon Utameh Mena Osim Lo Es Rishon Velo Es Sheni. Okay, so, and this Braisa says that for our second half, who are Tameim, so they're simply not going to bring the Karban Pesach. They're not going to bring the Karban Pesach on Pesach Rishon, and they're not going to bring it, and they're not going to bring on Pesach Sheni as well. And again, the svar behind that we already just gave, the svar could be found on the top of this Amud. Okay, now, as far as the Amoraim arguing one with another, so fine, perfectly acceptable. Rav argues with Rav Kahana, and the two versions of Rav Kahana, So they argue on one another. So good, so that's fine. However, now we have brises to contend with. Meaning, so if you're Rav, so you have two brises that are going against your position. And the same thing is true with Rav Kahana on either version. And so now what the Gemara is going to be doing for the balance of this Amud is it's going to deal with how is each of the positions of the Amoraim going to deal with the positions of the Tanaim. So L'Rav U'L'Lishna Basra de Rav Kahana. So now as far as Rav is concerned, as far as the second version of Rav Kahana is concerned, had the Tanit Aronos and the Sarishon and Tamayim Sashini Hechim and Tarsila. So what are they going to do with that second Brisa? So that second Brisa, which is going like the first version of Rav Kahana. Now, you could just simply say that, okay, the Brisas are arguing with one another, and each of the Amoraim are just simply going to be bolstered by one of the Brisas, and the other Brisas argue. But what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to exercise its creativity and figure out that there is a way that each of the positions can understand each of the brises. So if you are either Rav or Rav Kahana version number two, what are you doing with that middle brisa? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what you do with that middle brisa. Now again, that middle brisa says, for the 50% Tameim, they get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So how do you explain that if you are either of the other two positions, Kigon? So you'll say that that brisa is talking about a very specific circumstance. And that is Shai Yisrael, Mechzat Torah, Mechzat Tameim. So you have 50-50. However, to get to 50-50, Nashim Ashlim Osa Tameim. So it's the women that are counted towards the 50% that are Tameim. Because Sever Nashim Barishon Rishus. Now, as far as the women's obligation to bring Karm Pesach, so we're going to be discussing it later in the Masechta in more detail. But all we need to know right now is it's the Machlokas, whether it's an obligation or it's the Rishus. Again, we're gonna see the Gemaras later on. Right now, we're taking the position that they can opt into the Karban Pesach, but there's no chova. There's no obligation for women to offer. Now, so what does that mean vis-a-vis counting? So as far as the 50% is concerned, so they don't count towards that 50% because we're only counting 50% that are obligated. So dal nashim, so that means now, really what you're doing is you're taking away the women. So mitameim, va'avalu tameim miyuta. So now what does that tell us? It tells us that as far as the tameim are concerned, so now they really are a minority. Miyuta yitzchel Pesach Sheni. And that's why the minority is going to be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Fine, good. So that's how we're going to deal with the second brisa. Now, Ula Rav, Elisha, Kamad Rav Kahana, Haditanya. So now, what if you're either Rav or Rav Kahana, the first version? What do you do with that third Brisa, which clearly supports the Rav Kahana second version? So, and Ditanya, we learned in the Brisa, Tahar Mosin, and Sarishan, Tamei Mosin, and Lois Sarishan, Velois Hasheni, where the second half that are Tameim, the 50% that are Tameim, are not going to be offering neither on Pesach Rishon nor on Pesach Sheni. So how do you deal with that if you are either Rav or Rav Kahan version number one? Hech mitartzala. So Rav mitartz like Kigon. So Rav will tell you the following. I'll tell you how you deal with that third brisa. It's Kigon Shai Yisrael Mechza Tameim Mechza Taharim. So what you have now is a 50-50 of the Jewish people. V'nashim Odfos Ala Taharim. And the truth of the matter is that women now are going to push the number above 50%, meaning the women are Tahoros. And they're going to push the number above 50. Because of Nashim Rishon Chova. Now, as far as Pesach Rishon is concerned, women are obligated, meaning we're going to take the position that women's obligation in Karban Pesach is a Chova, not just a Rishos. So now what does that mean? It means vis-a-vis Karban Pesach, now the Tahorim are the majority. Fine. And the Tameim are the minority. Now watch what happens. Uvisheni Rishos. Now, as far as Pesach Sheni is concerned, so again, we're going to see this later in the Masechta, but there's a position that women are obligated, but only in Pesach Rishon, not in Pesach Sheni. They can opt into Pesach Sheni, but they don't have to bring Pesach Sheni. Now, what does that do in terms of the numbers for Pesach Sheni? So that what it's going to do now is it's going to take the Tame group, and now it's going to turn them into 50%. So this is now how the numbers are able to fluctuate. For Pesach Rishon, there we do include the women because right now we're supporting the position, or we are holding like the position that women are obligated. But for Pesach Sheni, now that it's a Rishus, so for Pesach Sheni, they're taken out of the equation. So Berishon lo'avdei da'avilei miyut u'miyut lo'avdei. So as far as Pesach Rishon is concerned, so they're not a majority. And therefore, there are more than 50% that are Taharim because women are Chova. So there's more than 50% that are Taharim. So therefore, the Tameim are the minority. That's why they don't bring up Pesach Rishon. And it's the law of Debrishon. Uvisheni lo avdi dal nashiminai v'avalu pago 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 lo avdi b'sheni. Now, as far as now moving to Pesach Sheni, since we are assuming that women are not obligated in Pesach Sheni, but only opting into Pesach Sheni, so therefore their numbers are not counted towards Pesach Sheni. What does that do to our numbers? It moves it back now to 50-50. So 50% 50% that are Tameim do not bring Pesach Sheni. Only a minority brings Pesach Sheni, not even 50% will bring Pesach Sheni. Good. Ula Rav Kahana da Amar Paganami Avde B'Sheni Hechimitaritza. Now, as far as Rav Kahana is concerned, because remember, Rav Kahana views 50% not as a majority in the second version of Rav Kahana. So how is he going to explain the Braisa? Kigon Shai Yisrael Mechza Torah and Mechza Tameim. So the way he'll explain it is that, again, we're going to start off with 50-50. V'nashim Mashlimos L'Tahorim. Now here women are going to be included in that 50% that are Tahor. V'kasav V'nashim Rishon Chova U'v'Sheni V'Shos. And again, we're going to assume that women for Pesach Rishon obligated, for Pesach Sheni optional. And B'Rishon Lo Avdi Dehavlo Pago Paga. Now as far as Pesach Rishon is concerned, so there, they're not going to do it. Why? Because now we're looking at 50-50. Upaga Brishon Lo, and 50-50 for Rav Kahana. So there, you're not the majority. Therefore, they're not going to bring on Pesach Rishon. Brishon Lo Avdi. B'sheni Nami Lo Avdi Dal Nashim Inayu Min HaTaharim. So, and now, as far as Pesach Sheni is concerned, so now remember, we are subscribing to women for Pesach Sheni are optional, not obligation. Therefore, they're going to be removed from the numbers. Once they're removed from the numbers, so what does that make the Tameim? That makes now the Tameim a majority. Havlu Tameim Ruba, V'ruba Lo Avdi B'Sheni. And the Rov are not going to be able to, a Rov Tameim are not going to be able to offer Pesach Sheni. Good. Ula Rav Kahana Haditanya. Now, when you look at Rav Kahana's position, now we have the Braisa HaResha Yu Yisrael, Mechza Torah, Mechza Tameim, Halalu Osman Latzman, Halalu Osman Latzman. So what we're going to have now are the two groups offering on Pesach Rishon, Hechi Mitaritzla. So if you're Rav Kahana, how do you explain that first Braisa, which is clearly supporting Rav's position? But for Rav Kahana, when do you ever have a circumstance where you have 50-50? So Amalecha Rav Kahana Tanaihi. So Rav Kahana says, there I'm stuck, meaning no creativity can help my position over there. Because for Rav Kahana, there's never a circumstance where you have two groups offering, one group offering B'Tahora and the other group offering B'Tameya. So Rav Kahana says, there I'm stuck. I'm going to have to tell you that there, that's a machlokes ha-tanaim. Laman damar mechza mechza karov, v'ika laman damar mechza mechza ein karov. And the tanaim are arguing exactly how to look at 50%. Do we say 50% is a majority, or do we not say it's a majority? So it's a machlokes ha-tanaim. Obviously, Rav Kahana himself subscribes to the position that 50% is not considered a majority, but there are tanaim who state otherwise. And so Rav Kahana over there will just simply have to tell you that's a machlokes ha-tanaim. Good. Adkan, that takes us really to the end of yesterday's daf. We now are going to continue. We are three lines from the bottom on Ayin Tesamud Beis. And after having now totally fleshed out the positions of Rav Kahana and Rav regarding Mechza Mechza, Gufa, the Gemara now is going to go back to this and teach us a new brisa on this topic. So, HaReisha Yisrael Mechza Torah Mechza Tameim. So here the Braisa starts off where you have 50% of the Jewish people being Tameim, 50% being Torahim. Halalu Osan Latzman, Valalu Osan Latzman. So then each group is going to be offering on Pesach Rishon, just it's going to be segregated. You'll have your Tahorim offering and then you'll have your Tameim offering. Hayu Tameim Otvos Alatorim Afilu Echad. But let's say the scales are tipped by just one person. So then, and tilted in the direction of Tameya. So Yasu Betuma Lafishein Carbon Sibur Chaluk. So then what you're going to have is you're going to have everybody offering it in a state of Tahara. I'm sorry. Incorrect. Let's say it correctly. Everyone's going to be offering it in a state of Tumah. Even the Tahorim are going to offer it in a state of Tumah. So yesterday, as I pointed out, when you have the majority of the Jewish people being Tameh, so it's pretty clear from the Gemara, and here's really the clearest indication that even those people that are Tahor are going to be offering it in a state of Tumah, and here the Braisa, at least the Tanakhama of the Braisa, clearly subscribes to that viewpoint. And it's a little bit strange, meaning you're Tahor, and meanwhile, you're going to be able to offer that year the Karban Pesach in the state of Tumah. So, okay, it's a little bit strange, but understood. In other words, you have the special dispensation of Pesach either being Hutra or Dechuya B'Tzibor, and on top of that, you don't want two separate groups, you don't want two segregated groups, so Ein Karban Tzibor Chaluk. Now, it is a little bit strange, meaning just to process this information of Ein Tzibor Chaluk, we don't want the Jewish people segmented into two different groups. Now, this is all said by the same Tanakhama who just moments earlier said that it's 50-50, so then we're going to bring it in two separate groups. So how do we process that information? What you're going to have to say, I mean, the Gemara doesn't really spell this out, but you have to say this, because otherwise it's really difficult to process. That when it's 50-50, so the Tanakhama's viewpoint, like we just commented, is that the way the Tanakhama views 50% is rov. So over here, as a member of the 50%, so you really represent the majority of the Jewish people. Now, it's a little bit strange because there's another majority as well, meaning the other 50% is also a majority. So as you're bringing it as a majority, so you're not segmented because you are bringing it as part of a majority. That's why your 50% group are going to be bringing it in a state of Tahara. The other 50% are going to be bringing it in a state of Tahara as well. In a state of Tumah, because they're also a majority. That's how you're going to have to say it. I'm sure there's other ways to say it, but I think the way I'm presenting it is correct. I've known to have been wrong in the past, but that has to be the way to view it. Where on the other hand, where it's, once you have a majority minority, in other words, it's even tilted by one person, but once you have a majority minority, so then the minority has to follow the majority. Meaning the majority is bringing a state of tumah, so is the minority going to do so as well? Because ain karban tzibur chaluk. But when you have 50-50, you really have two tzibors, meaning you have two majorities. Okay, I'm just helping all of us process the position of the Tanakhama. Good. That's all opinion number one of the Braisa. There are three more opinions to go through in the Braisa. We are on the last line of Ayin Tesamud Beis. Rebbe Lazar ben Masya Omer, Eina Yachim Machri Yasa Tzibor L'Tumah. So Rebbe Lazar ben Masya says, one person, that's not enough to tilt the scale. You can't tilt a majority just by one person. So Shinama, the Pasuk says, Lo Suchal, top of Peyamid Aleph, Lo Suchal Lizbochas HaPesach Bechacharecha. Now, really, the Pasuk is taken out of context. That is contextually, not the simple pshat in the Pasuk. Okay, but nevertheless, so it's a drasha. So, right, for one person, we're not going to be offering the Karban Pesach in a state of Tumah. Good, that's the position of Rav Elazar ben Masya. So he gives us a problem. He does not give us a solution. Based on the Gemara we're going to learn a little bit later on this morning, we're going to suggest a solution. But that is opinion number two. Opinion number three. Rabbi Shimon Amar Afilu Shevet Echad. Tami Vishar Kol Shvatim Taharim Alalu Osim La'atzman Va'alalu Osim La'atzman. Rabbi Shimon says that if I have a Shevet that's Tamei, so that Shevet now is considered a tzibor. Therefore, they're going to be offering in a state of tumah. All the other shvatim, they're also considered tzibor. So they're going to offer in a state of tahara. Meaning once you have just but one shevet being tamei, so that is considered a tzibor. How do we know this? So the Gemara says, my time at the Rebbe Shimon Kasavar, shevet echad ikre kahal. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, one shevet it does qualify as a kahal. Rashi over here cites the Gemara in Horios. The Gemara in Horios and Daf Hey, Rashi quotes it. So Yaakov says to his sons, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov, Goy v'kahal goyim yemi mecha, that you're going to have a kahal goyim coming from you. Now, v'kvar naldulo, Rashi writes, v'kvar naldulo kol shatim chutz mi binyamin. So everybody at that point in time is accounted for with one notable exception. Binyamin hasn't yet been born. So hilkach shevet echach chashav kitzibar v'lo midcha l'sheni. And Akash Baruch Hu promises Yaakov, and you're going to have a kahal coming from you. So that means that Binyamin representing one shevet still qualifies as a kahal. That sheet is Rabbi Shimon. And finally, the fourth opinion of the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afilu shevet echad tamei v'shar kol shvatim tarim, yasu betumah she'ein karban tzibor chaluk. So in describing the same scenario where you have one shevet being tamei and the rest of the Jewish people being taharim, so then they're going to be off. Everybody's going to be offering in the state of tumah. Why? Because once we have tumah dechuya or hutra betzibor, so then we don't want to segment the Jewish people. Everybody's going to be bringing in the state of tumah. Now Rabbi Yehuda suffers shevet echad ikre kahal v'havalu palgo palga. So the Gemara now just simply formulates the svar behind the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Look, once you have a shevet being tamei, so now that is considered a kahal. One shevet is considered a kahal. This is tantamount to 50%. V'ein karban tzibor chaluk v'avdi kula b'tumah. Also, he subscribes to the idea that you are not to segregate the Jewish people into two groups. And therefore, once we have now one shevet being a kahal offering a b'tumah, everybody's going to be offering a b'tumah. Ad Khan, that takes us now not to the end of our discussion, but that's the end of the Braisa. Four opinions on the matter of 50-50 or scenarios that are like 50-50. Itmar. We're in Peyamid Aleph. We are about a quarter of the way down. The Gemara now is going to suggest solutions now to the scenario of 50-50. Idmar, how you saw mechza torah and mechza tamayim. So let's say we have 50-50. So is there a way to solve for that problem? So the Gemara now is going to entertain a couple of suggestions. So Itmar Amar Rav Mitamim Echem Mehem Besheretz. So Rav says, yeah, I do have a solution, and that is you'll be Mitamim one person. So Ve'amai Navdu Hani L'chudai V'Hani L'chudai Amar Rav Halal Osan Latzman V'Halal Osan Latzman. So the Gemara says, now that's very strange. Why do you have to solve for this problem? Didn't we learn in yesterday's daf? We just went over it moments earlier this morning. Didn't we just learn that according to Rav, so you could bring the Karm Pesach as two groups, the Tahor group and the Tameh group. According to Rav, 50% is considered a rov. According to Rav, that would mean then that you just simply have the two groups bringing it independent one of the other. So Amri Hachabah Maiskin Kagoshayu Tameh Otem Al Tahorim Echad. So the Gemara says, okay, that's a really good point. Maybe over here we're talking about where it's not exactly 50-50. It's tilted by one person in the direction of Tahara. So the Gemara says, Yahachi, Havalu, Ruba, Tameim, other way around. You have it tilted one person in the direction of Tamei. So the Gemara says, Yahachi, Havalu, Ruba, Tameim, Nabdu, Kula, Batumo. So the Gemara says, okay, one person in the direction of Tamei. So you have Rov Tameim, right? We know what to do. So the Gemara says, no, Sevelaka Revelaz ben Masi Damar, Ina Yachim Machriya Setzibor Lutumah. So the Gemara says, no. Maybe Rav subscribes to the Sheet of Revelaz ben Masya, right? We were just introduced to his position on the very top of the Amud, right? Started on the bottom of the previous Amud, that Revelaz ben Masya says you can't tilt based on one person. So the Gemara says, okay, so if you're not tilting for one person, so then if we're not tilting so that we're still balanced at 50-50. So ne'avdu hani l'chudai v'hani l'chudayu. So the Gemara says, okay, so again, so we really have over here a balanced equation over here, according to Rav Elazar ben Masya, because one person's not going to tilt the scale. So then again, have the Tahor group offering, then have the Tamei group offering. El hachikamer. So the Gemara says, so you know what? Let's go in a different direction. Meaning, as Rashi points out over here, we're back to 50-50. And the reason why Rav insists that what we should do over here is mitami somebody b'sheretz is because elahachi kamar iika tana desavla ketana kama damar paga paga lo avdi kula betuma. So let's say we subscribe to the brisa that says that 50-50. So you're not going to have everybody offering a betuma. V'savla k'Rabbi Yehuda damar in karben sibur chaluk. And if I subscribe to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, which is that we really should not be offering in two groups. So mitami mechad b'sheretz. So what we should do under those circumstances, meaning if I subscribe to either of those positions, or better stated, if I subscribe to both of their positions, so then what we should do is that to solve for this problem is that we should then be mitami somebody b'sheretz. And let's fill in the blank over here. And why? Meaning, why solve for in this manner? Meaning, why not just simply offer it as two separate groups? So Rashi over here writes, an important Rashi. Rashi over here, at the end of the Rashi, Ela Hachi Kamar, I'm just going to highlight the last lines of Rashi. L'sheginai ha-davar demucha milsa behejya, kishinizaren elu me'elu. So Rashi over here says, now the way Rashi describes it, it sounds like what we're introducing over here is a din derabanan. Rashi over here says, g'nai ha-davar. It's just simply, it doesn't look good. It's not a good look. It's a disgrace for the Jewish people. Because what are we doing on that Pesach? So we're offering as two different groups. And now the Torah group and the Tamei group are going to make so sure to be separated from one another. It's just simply a g'nai. It's not a good look for the Jewish people. So kishinizhar and elu me'elu, when people are staying away from other people, right? It really goes against the theme of Yontif. I mean, in general, we talk about Jewish unity, but on Yontif, right? If you remember your Gemara's in Chagiga, so there really is this idea that we are a unified group, and it's one of the themes of Yontif. And so on Yontif, now we're in the Beis Hamikdash, and now we'll have the Torah group and the Tamei group. It's really a bad look for the Jewish people. And so therefore, and if I'm holding to these Tanayim that we just put together, so then the only conclusion is going to be that we're going to offer the Karban Pesach in two different groups, and it's such a bad look. So here's what we'll do. We'll mitame somebody b'sheretz. Now the Tahorim are no longer the majority. Now the Tahorim are the minority. And now Pesach is brought that year in a state of Tumah. Good. That is Rav's solution to the problem of what happens when we're 50-50 and we don't want to bring it 50-50. Now, it happens to be that Ula himself is of the position that you bring a 50-50. But if you do subscribe to these Tanayim, so then how do you solve for the problem? You're Matami, somebody Besheretz. That's all the Shita of Rav. Now, continuing with the Gemara, V'Ula Amar. Now, Ula offers a different suggestion, which is Meshach Nechem Ehem L'Derech Rechoka. Look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to, at a 50-50 deadlock, we're going to turn to one of those who are Tahorim. That's the way Tosfos understands Ula's position. We'll turn to a person who's Tahor and we'll say to him, do me a favor. Could you excuse yourself? All right. Go far away. Which, you know, in a moment, the Gemara is going to ask, who's really ready to volunteer for that assignment? But I know you're Tahor and I know you're here in Yerushalayim and I know you're ready to offer the Karban Pesach, but do me a favor. Go far away. And now, once he's Bederech Rechoka, so now he doesn't count over the numbers, so you get to deduct him from the count of Tahorim, and now you have majority being Tameh, the minority being Tahor. So the Gemara says, V'yita mena b'sharetz, why doesn't Ula like Rav's suggestion of being Metameh? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why Ula doesn't like it, technical reasons. Because when somebody's Tameh Sheretz on Erev Pesach, as we're going to see, we already saw it, and we're going to see it, and here the Gemara is assuming that we know this. It's a machlokas whether or not you count towards the Karban Pesach. Can a Karban Pesach be shechted for you? Now, for you who's Tamei Sheretz. So you're gonna tovel in the mikvah that day and that night with Harav Shemesh. So you'll be able to eat Karban Pesach. But the question is, do you count towards the Karban Pesach? So this is going to be a debate. Ula is of the position, Shochtim V'Zorchan HaTamei Sheretz, that you can Shech the Karban Pesach for somebody who's a Tamei Sheretz. So as far as Ula is concerned, you making him Tamei Sheretz isn't going to help him at all. Isn't going to help our cause at all, because as far as Halacha is concerned, he's still viewed as a Tara person. The Gemara says, okay, V'Yitamina B'meis. So the Gemara says, fine. So if the problem is that he'll be okay tonight to eat Karban Pesach, and he's really considered a Tara person, so slam him with a harder Tumah. Hit him with Tumas Mace. So the Gemara says, Matzkeo ata michagi gaso. So the Gemara says, yeah, that solution is just going to create more problems. Because now, not only have you pushed him off from Karban Pesach, you're also going to push him off from the Karban Chagiga as well. Now that you hit him with Tumah Mace, so he's going to be Tumah for 7 days. So the Gemara says, Hashanami, Matzkeo ata michagi. Well, you were comfortable pushing him off from Karban Pesach. Why aren't we comfortable for just pushing him off for the Karban Chagiga? So the Gemara says, no, Efshar David B'Sheni. No, when if I push him off from Pesach Rishon, okay, not the end of the world. He has a second chance. He has Pesach Sheni. So B'meis Nami Efshar David B'Shvida Avalei Shmini Shalom. So the Gemara says, okay, but even if I hit him with a Tumas Mace, so on the seventh day of Pesach, he'll be okay to bring the Chagiga. Remember, you have on Pesach 7 days to bring the Karban Chagiga. You only have to bring it one time, but you have 7 days to bring it, days 1 through 7. And so if you hit him on Erev Pesach with the Tumas Mace, he's Tumah for 7 days. The seventh day of Pesach, if you're following me well on the calendar, the seventh day of Pesach is going to be his eighth day, which means that, assuming that he's able to start the paraduma process already on day one, meaning start the tahara process immediately, so now he'll get sprinkled with day 3 and 7. His seventh day will be the sixth day of Pesach. The seventh day of Pesach, now he should be able to bring the chagiga. So isn't that going to be okay? So the Gemara says no. Kasavar ula kulu tashlum and derishon enu dechazib erishon chazib kulu v'chol heichad lo chazib erishon lo chazib kulu. So the Gemara over here has a really lumpish question, and that is, the Karban Chagiga, which one is obligated to bring on Yantiv? So is it that there's an obligation the first day, and every other day is just a makeup for the first day? Or no? Are all 7 days of Pesach days in which a person's chayv to bring the Karban Chagiga once, but each day represents its own separate chova? Or maybe a better way to say it is that all 7 days are a chova in of themselves. It's a lumpish question of the Gemara. And the Gemara right now says that Ula assumes that no, really the Chovas Chagiga is only day one. Every other day of Pesach is just a makeup opportunity. Once you push them off from day one from the Karban Chagiga, even though he'll be eligible to bring the Karban Chagiga on day number 7, but it is no longer an obligation for him to bring the Chagiga on day number 7 because he wasn't eligible on day one. So the Gemara says that's why Ula does not feel that being Metamehim is going to help him, either because Tamei Sheretz, halachically, it does nothing vis-a-vis Karban Pesach. He's still considered a Tahor. And as far as hitting him with Tumas Mace, so then you're pushing him from the Chagiga, and you created more problems than what you solved for. So Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, look, Ula, I really like your creativity, but practically speaking, Rav Nachman says, I just don't think it's going to work. Amru Rav Nachman, Zilav Amru Leila Ula. So Rav Nachman says, send the following message to Ula, and that is, Man Sais to Akar Sichei Umashkane Verahi. Yeah, someone's going to take his pegs, take his tent, and just simply move outside. And I'd like to see someone volunteer for this position of being in Yerushalayim, getting ready to offer the Karban Pesach, and then he gets tapped and says, you know what? You go long, right? Take a hike. No one's going to want to do that. And Rav Nachman just simply says, practically, it's not a good suggestion. And as Rashi points out over here, Rav Nachman would in fact favor the Rav solution of being metame somebody. Okay, Itmar. The Gemara now continues our discussion. So we have for all of today been focused on mechsa al mechsa, what happens when it's 50-50. So we went over this morning so far the positions of Rav and the two versions of Rav Kahana. We've gone over the Braisa that took us to today's daf, giving us four opinions on this matter. We've just gone over possible solutions, that of Rav and that of Ula. And the Gemara now is going to advance the discussion. Itmar. Hayurubans avinu miyutam tamei mesim. So let's say all the Jewish people are tamei. The majority of them are tamei with tumas zav. And a minority of them are tummy with tumas mace. Now, in order to appreciate this discussion, so let's clear the air up. In order for the Jewish people to bring the Karban Pesach in a state of tumma, you need the majority of the Jewish people being tummy, but specifically tumas mace. There is no other tumma that will give the dispensation of tumma hutcher or dechuya betzibur. All right, and you probably noticed all morning I've been straddling that fence of whether it's hutcher or dechuya. Because as we learned back already a number of times, we're going to review again this morning, it's a machlokas. But anyway, so it's only Tumas Meis that allows for this dispensation. So that means to say that if you are, let's say, any other kind of Tuma on Pesach, so you are not going to be able to offer the Karban Pesach that year. So, I'm sorry, you're not able to offer the Karban Pesach Rishon. Right? Once you get to Pesach Sheni and you resolve your Tuma issue, so then obviously you bring a Pesach Sheni. Good. With that stated, so now we're going to come up with a number of problems with possible solutions. So let's say we have all the Jewish people being tamei. Most of them are tamei through tumas zav. Tumas zav, a man or a woman who has a discharge. Right? For a woman, it's a lot more complicated because it really depends on the times. Actually, we're going to go over that tomorrow, the 7-11. But anyway, let's just right now deal with a man. So the man has a zav discharge, so he's tamei. And if he has two discharges, he's tummy for 7 days. So, okay, fine. So the majority of men are zavin, and a minority of tumas meis. So, what happens under those circumstances? Amarav. Osem tamei meis amenis ena osem lo b'rishon v'lo b'sheni. So Rav says, I'll tell you what. For that year, the minority of tumas meis are not going to be bringing Karban Pesach. Neither on Pesach Rishon, nor on Pesach Sheni. Now let's follow why. Rishon lo avde dahavu miyuto miyuto lo avde berishon. Because as far as Rishon are concerned, they only represent a minority. Now it's true, the other majority of the Jewish people who are Tamei also are not bringing Karban Pesach, but not because of Tumas Meis, but just simply because they are Tumas Zav. So as far as the allowance to bring Pesach Rishon that year, nobody's bringing Pesach Rishon that year. Fine. So why not now have them pushed off to Pesach Sheni? So b'sheni nami lo avde, and they're not going to be bringing on Pesach Sheni. Why? Because of the following: heched avdi tzibur b'rishon avid yachid b'sheni. Kol heched lo avdi tzibur b'rishon lo avid yachid b'sheni. Because Pesach Sheni is just that; it's a makeup. And if there is no Pesach Rishon that year, right? It's an extraordinary year. So if there's no Pesach Rishon that year, so then there just simply is not going to be a Pesach Sheni makeup. Good. So that is Rav's, it's not a solution, it's just simply the way he looks at that issue. So Amar Lehu Shmuel, Zilu Amar Lehu Abba, so Shmuel sends a message to Abba. Abba is the way that Shmuel described Rav, either because that was his proper name, or it was a term of endearment or respect, either way. So Shmuel says to Rav, I don't understand your position. So my avidle, there's a mitzvah to offer Karban Pesach, and now you're just simply saying, we're just not going to bring the Karban Pesach that year. That's very difficult to understand. So Amr Lehu, Zilo Amr Leh. So Rav, when he got the correspondence from Shmuel, so he says, okay, let me return with an answer. and that is Gihavu Kulu Zavin Mayavadilay. So Rav says, I have a very simple question to ask you. What if the entirety of the Jewish people are tamei with tumas zav? What would you say under those circumstances? You would say, there's no karban Pesach. Ela kevan de lo efshir, lo efshir. Hachanami lo efshir. So Rav's argument is, look, it's just simply a case of lo efshir. You couldn't do it. So if you can't do it, you can't do it. So Rav says, look, I'm right. There's nothing to get emotional about over here. There are just certain years where, for halachic reasons, Karban Pesach is not going to be offered. So here in the scenario that I just laid out, Karban Pesach is not going to be offered. Good. Itmar. Hayruban tamei mesim miyutam zavim. So now the Gemara advances the discussion where we're now going to look at a very similar case, but with an important difference. In this case over here, the majority of the Jewish people are tamei mes, and a minority of them are tamei with tumas ziva. So Rav Huna Amar ain tashlum la Pesach haba b'tuma. So over here, as far as Pesach Rishon is concerned, so we know what's going to happen. So for Pesach Rishon, the majority that are tamei with tumas meis, so they're going to be offering on Pesach Rishon. Now, as far as the makeup for Pesach Sheni is concerned, so there's not going to be a makeup that year. Ein tashlumim lePesach haba b'tuma. There simply is no makeup for a Pesach for a year in which Pesach Rishon is brought in a state of tuma. And and Rav Adar Bahava Amar Yesh tashlumim lePesach haba b'tuma. And he says, no, what do you mean? Even in that year where the Pesach is brought in a state of Tumah, so there's going to be a Pesach Sheni for that year. So, a really interesting debate over here amongst the Amoraim, between Rav Huna and Rav Adar Bahava. When you have a year of Pesach being brought in Tumah, the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei Meis, which now allows for Pesach to be brought in Tumah. So now, for those Zavin, so can they bring Pesach Sheni? They weren't able to bring a Pesach Rishon because, again, the only dispensation is for those who are Tamei Meis. So for our Zavin, are they now allowed to bring Pesach Sheni? So Rav Huna's argument is no, because in this year where Pesach Rishon is brought Betumah, there is no allowance of Pesach Sheni. And Rav Adar Bahava says, no, I simply disagree. Even in a year where Rishon was brought in a state of Tuma with a dispensation. So then there still is a makeup. So what the Gemara now is going to offer is what I would call a wonderful way to explain the machlokus. Name of Ahakamifugi. Mandam in Teshlam in Lepesach Chabab Tuma Kasava Tuma Dechuyi Bitzibor. Umandam Yesh Teshlam in Lepesach Chabab Tuma Kasava Tuma Hoshur Bitzibor. What the Gemara is suggesting over here is now we have a wonderful nafkamina between whether or not the Pesach that's brought Rishon in the state of Tumah is either Hoshur or Dechuya. And now let's go over both of these sides. If it's Dechuya, what is that telling me? Rashi articulates, Rashi writes, Uvekoshi Hutar Lahakrivo. Really, even though the Torah gives an allowance to offer Pesach Rishon because the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei Meis, but even though it's allowed Bekoshi, meaning Tuma is still there. We don't ignore the Tuma. The Torah just simply says that, look, we have Tuma, but we also have a dispensation. The dispensation allows us to override the Tuma, but we can't ignore the fact that the Tuma is still there. Now, nafkamina, so here the Gemara is suggesting a wonderful nafkamina. That means now that really the Pesach Rishon that's brought in Tumah, we have to acknowledge that it was brought by Tumah. So for Pesach Sheni, there's not going to be a makeup because there's no makeup for Pesach that's brought by Tumah. However, if we subscribe to Tumah, the Pesach being Hutra, Tumah's Hutra, Bitsibor, so that means that what do we do with the Tumah? We get to ignore the Tumah altogether. It means that if the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei Meis, so that means that that year, it's not that we're allowed to offer it in a state of Tumah, it's that we get to ignore the Tumah altogether. And that's why there's going to be now a makeup for our Zavin. Our Zavin, who were not able to offer in Pesach Rishon, so therefore they're now allowed to, they are in fact allowed to offer it on Pesach Sheni. It seems to be a wonderful way of explaining the Machlokas. Although Amrei in the Beis Medrash, in Bavel, they didn't like that explanation. Really, everyone holds over here Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibor. There are a couple of indications that the Gemara seems to really favor this viewpoint of Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibor, this Gemara being one of them. Meaning, in the Beis Medrash and Bavel, even though the Gemara has been straddling this issue already a number of times, Tumah Dechuya or Hutra, But it seems, from our Gemara over here, that really they favor the Tumah Dechuyah position. So Amilo, Dekulei Alma Tumah Dechuyah B'tzibur V'haPligi. And the Gemara now suggests as follows, as we're turning to the top of the Amud Beis, Marsavar, Tahara Madchaya Tumah, I'm sorry, Tahara Madchaya Tumah Lo Madchaya, or Marsavar Afilu Tumah Nami Madchaya. And the Gemara says that even if we are all subscribing to Tumah Dechuyah B'tzibur, the question now is that, is there going to be a makeup for a Pesach Haba B'tumah, even though the Tumah is only Dechuya? And so the Gemara says is that when we say Dechuya, how much Dechuya are we talking about? Right? A range in Dechuya. So do we say that, look, that fundamentally it's still, that Pesach Rishon is still really Bar B'tumah? Again, an allowance to do so, but it's really Bar B'tumah. And there just simply is no Pesach Sheni makeup. The Pesach Sheni makeup is only when Pesach Rishon is brought B'tahara. And the other position is known, that the Dechuya pushes it off enough so that there will be a makeup Pesach Sheni. Okay, so the Gemara prefers this explanation. The Bnei HaYeshiva prefer this explanation over explaining it through the Lamdas of Hutra Dechuya. Itmar. Continuing now in the Gemara, one more advancement of the discussion. And that's the following: Hayushlishi sam zavmishlishi sam taharim ushlishi sam tamei mesim. So now, right, it really is testing, right, the our thinking of this morning. Let's say a third of the Jewish people are tamei with tumas ziva. Let's say a third of the Jewish people are tamei with tumas tumas meis, and a third of the Jewish people are tar legamri. What happens that year? So Rav Mani Bar Patish. I'm Rav Mani Bar Patish. So here the Gemara is going to give only one response to this. Seemingly, it's really the only way to look at it. And that is, Osam Tamei Mesa Meina Osam Losa Rishon Velosa Sheni. So those people that are Tamei Mes, so they are not going to be able to offer the Karban Pesach that year, either on Pesach Rishon, nor on Pesach Sheni. Why? Barishon Lo Avde, Higdilu Zavin Ala Taharin, De Lo Avde Betumam, Havla Tamei Mesim Miuto, Umiuto Lo Avde Barishon. So as far as Pesach Rishon is concerned, look, they are the minority. They're only a third. Now, it's true that another third of the Jewish population are Tameh, but Tumah Ziva. Again, the dispensation to offer Karban Pesach in the state of Tumah is only for Tumas Meis. So when doing a head count of the Jewish people, and in terms of answering the question, can we bring this year a Karban Pesach in the state of Tumah? So we only are counting those who are Tameh Meis. They only represent 33%. So they are a minority. So therefore, they're not going to be able to offer Pesach Rishon instead of Tumah. Now, B'sheni Lo Avde. Now, as far as Pesach Sheni is concerned, so here's where it gets interesting, and that is that our Tamei Mesim cannot be offering it on Pesach Sheni. Why? Because Nitzarfu Zavim Im Tamei Mesim Delo Avde B'Rishon. Because over here, who didn't offer on Pesach Rishon? So the majority, the vast majority, the Jewish people didn't offer it on Pesach Rishon, meaning neither the Tamei Zavin nor the Tamei Mesim. But that means to say now that vis-a-vis the count towards Pesach Sheni, so now we have a majority of the Jewish people who didn't bring it on Pesach Rishon. Havalahu Ruba. Now, vis-a-vis Pesach Sheni's concern, now we're looking at Rov, V'ruba lo matchul Pesach Sheni. The majority of the Jewish people do not get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Only minority gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni, not majority. So they really, I don't want to say they lost on both sides, because there are no losers over here. It's just simple, it's simply halacha. It's a legality that our Tamei Mesim, for two technical reasons, they're not going to offer on Pesach Rishon nor on Pesach Sheni. Pesach Rishon because they're not majority Tamei Mesim, so therefore they don't offer on Pesach Rishon. And for Pesach Sheni, they're not going to offer simply on the technicality that now, as we do the head count for Pesach Sheni, turns out now that the majority of the Jewish people didn't bring Pesach Rishon, so you don't have a majority offering Pesach Sheni. It's just a rule. Only a minority offers Pesach Sheni, not a majority. So for that technicality, they're not going to be bringing on Pesach Sheni. And then we're just going to hearken back to what we learned earlier this morning, how Rav responded to Shmuel, the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, yeah, mitzvah of Karban Pesach, and sometimes for technical reasons. You just simply don't bring a Karban Pesach that year. Good. Takes us now to the Mishnah. So, obviously, all of our morning right now has been, we have been focused on scenarios of Mechsa Mechsa, or versions of that question. As now we continue with the next Mishnah, more on the topic of Pesach brought in a state of Tumah. Ha Pesach shenizrak dama v'archakach no deshu tameh. So a carbon Pesach that the blood was sprinkled, and afterwards it was discovered that the carbon Pesach itself was tameh. Meaning we didn't know this at the time, but and it was already tameh at the time, but we just simply learned about it afterwards. So hatzitz meratzah. So the Mishnah tells us that good. So what you have over here is the effectiveness of the tzitz, as we have already covered many times. But here the Mishnah spells it out, and that is that the tzitz, it creates a ritzui. The tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, the gold head plate that's worn by the Kohen Gadol with the words Kodesh LaHashem, so that is able to push through. It's the protexia that's able to push through a carbon that is brought in a state of tumah. Now nitma guf and etzutz maratza mimnesha sha'amru. So as far as tumas guf is concerned, meaning if what we discovered afterwards is not that the carbon was tameh, but the person was tameh, so there the tzitz cannot help that. Meaning the tzitz is limited in its protexia. It can only push through a carbon that's tameh, not the person being tameh. Mimnesha amru, because they said. Now, when you hear that, Mimnei Shamru, they said. What does that mean, they said? So as Rashi points out over here, it's referring to Allah L'Moshe Misinai. So the Hanazir V'Ose Pesach HaTzitz Meratzah Al Tumas Adam V'Ena Tzitz Meratzah Al Tumas Agof. Because as far as the ability of the tzitz being Meratzah, so that only is going to be able to push through Tumas Basar, but not or Tumas Dam, meaning a Tumah that affects the carbon, but not Tumas Agof, not when the person's tummy. Nitma tumas atahom tzitz meratzah. Now, as far as tumas atahom is concerned, so that the tzitz is going to be meratzah. So hold off on a discussion of what is the tumas atahom, because that's where we're going to start tomorrow. We're going to get to the two dots, and tomorrow we'll start with the tumas atahom. And tomorrow I will give a formal introduction to what is the tumas atahom and how the tzitz is meratzah. Well, not how, it just is, but the fact that the tzitz is meratzah and tumas atahom. So let's shelf that discussion for tomorrow. But in the meantime, however, the first discussion of the Gemara, which we're going to cover right now, Taima Dinizrak V'Achar Kach Noda. The Mishnah over here reads really carefully. And that is that first you did the Zrika, and afterwards you discover about the Tuma. Aval Noda V'Achar Kach Nizrak Lo Meratzah. But a simple reading of the Mishnah, it's a clear implication of the Mishnah, and that is that if you discover your tameh, and afterwards you do the zrika afterwards, so it sounds like the tzitz is not able to push that through. Urim minhu. But the Gemara says, but I don't think that's right. In fact, let's take a look at the Braisa together. We learned this Braisa earlier in the Masechta, and now we get to do Chazara on the Braisa. Ama tzitz meratzeh. So what is the tzitz going to create ritzui for? Al adam v'al basar v'al chelav shenitma. Whether the blood or the meat or the chelav of a carbon, any part of the carbon that becomes tameh, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, ben b'onis, ben b'ratzon, ben b'yachid, ben b'tzibur, doesn't matter whether we are talking about where it happened inadvertently or intentionally, or for circumstances beyond our control or willingly, whether it's a carbon yachid or whether it's a carbon tzibur, so that this is going to be able to push that through. Now over here, so part of being mezid is knowing that the carbon is tameh. And the Braisa says very clearly, and if we are Zorig the Dam, the tzitz is going to be Meratzah, unlike the implication of our Mishnah. So what do we do over here? How do we create Shalom between the Braisa we just learned and what seems to be the clear implication of our Mishnah? Amar Ravina Tumaso ben Bishogeg ben Bemezid Hortzah Zrikaso Bishogeg Hortzah Bemezid Lo Hortzah. So Ravina says, I'll tell you how you create Shalom. And that is that the question over here is, there are Tumah either affecting the carbon or the tumam affecting the zrika. Let's say it better. The shogeg is going on the shigigas tumah of the carbon, or the shogeg could be going on the zrika. So Ravina says like this. As far as the tumah is concerned that affected the carbon, so there, irrespective of whether or not the carbon became tumah, b'shogeg or b'mezid, so there, the tzitz is going to be meratzah. But only if the zrika was done b'shogeg, meaning that the Kohen who did the zrika at the time when he did the zrika did not know that the carbon was tummy. Then and only then is the tzitz is able to push it through, giving the owner of that carbon a check mark for having brought the carbon successfully under those circumstances. That means that according to Ravina, if the carbon becomes tummy, there it does not matter whether it was b'shogeg or b'mezid. But as far as the Kohen doing the Zrika is concerned, the tzitz is only meratzah if done b'shogeg. That's Ravina's resolution of the Mishnah and the Braisa. And that's very good now. Meaning the implication of the Mishnah is going on the Zrika. As far as the Braisa is concerned, the Braisa was talking about the Tumas Basar or the Tumas Dam or the Tumas Chalev. Good. Rabbi Shila Amar. Now Rabbi Shila is also going to resolve it in a similar manner. He just flips the Shogeg. Zrikaso, Bein B'Shogeg Bein Memezid Hurtza Tumas Hurtza. As far as the Zrika is concerned, so there, that's what the Braisa was talking about. It doesn't matter whether it's Shogeg or Mezid, it's going to work. The tzitz will push it through. However, Tumaso, B'Shogeg Hurtza Bein Mezid Lo Hurtza. So, and as far as the Tumas is concerned, so there, the only way the tzitz works is only if the Tumah occurred B'Shogeg. So, good. So this is Rav Shila's approach, which is like Ravina, but flipping around what's the Shogeg. The Shogeg, according to Rav Shila, is going on the Zrika. So, Elaha Diktani, so the Gemara says, Ben B'Shogeg, Ben B'Mezid. The Gemara says, now, really, that's going to be a little bit challenging to read in the Braisa. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll show you how to read the Braisa. Nitma B'Shogeg, Vizarku. So if the Tumah occurred B'Shogeg, meaning we're going to have to add that word into the Braisa. Okay, admittedly, it's a tough read of the Braisa, but you could read it that way. So if the Tumah occurred B'Shogeg, and then the Zrika occurred, Bein B'Shogeg, Bein B'Mezid Hurtza. Okay, V'had Diktani, Dam Shenizrak, V'Achar Kach Noda. Now, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, now the Mishnah says, Dam Shenizrak, and afterwards it's known. So, Taima de Nizrak, V'Achar Kach Noda. Aval Noda, V'Achar Kach Nizrak, Lo. But what the Mishnah now is telling us is that if, let's say, you knew about the Tumah, and then you did the Zrika, it wouldn't work. And the Gemara says, now how does that jive with the sheet of Rav Shila? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how it works. So, Hua din dafilo no devachar kach nizrak. As far as making the diak in the Mishnah, the Gemara says, don't make the diak in the Mishnah. V'haydik tani nizrak v'achar kach noda. So the Gemara says, so then why would the Mishnah give a scenario which is super specific? The Mishnah is talking about where you did the Zrika, and afterwards you discovered that you were tummy. Or not you, but rather the carbon was tummy. So the Gemara says, Mishum debay lemisna seifa nitma aguf, enetz itz maratza dafilo nizrak v'achar kach noda, lo. It was only for purposes of symmetry and contrast. Because when it comes to Tumas Aguf, where the Kohen was Tameh, or the owner was Tameh, and by the way, we're going to clarify that point tomorrow, whether the owner was Tameh or the Kohen was Tameh, so there when it comes to Tumas Aguf, so there, that's a non-starter. There, the Tzitz does not create any Ritzui whatsoever. And it doesn't matter whether the Zrika was done B'Shogeg. Under those circumstances, it just simply the Tzitz does not push that through. So that's what the Mishnah wanted to highlight. So since the Mishnah wanted to highlight that point, so Ketani Reisha Nami Nizrak V'Achar Kach Noda. That's why the Reisha gives the scenario of Nizrak V'Achar Kach Noda. But the truth of the matter is that if the Tumah is only going on the bus or not on the person, so then even if they knew about it beforehand, still would be the Tzitz would be Maratza. Good. I'd come. We're going to stop over here at the two dots and let's quickly recap our daf today. We have spent the majority of today's daf talking about Mechsa Mechsa, right? With the three opinions of Rav Kahana version number one, Rav Kahana version number two. So both of those positions were outlined on yesterday's daf, Ayin Tesamud Beis. The Gemara quoted three brises, each one representing each of the shitas respectively. And the Gemara went through a lot of trouble today trying to understand if you are the other Amoraim, what do you do with the other two brises? And the Gemara creatively solved for that problem. Then, we covered a brice on the bottom of yesterday's Amud, going into today's Amud. Four opinions in terms of Mechsa al Mechsa. What do you do under circumstances of Mechsa al Mechsa? Then, the Gemara on Pei Amud Aleph goes through the Machlokas of Rav and Ula. What happens to Mechsa al Mechsa? Can we tilt the scale? Rav says yes, we'll be Matami somebody with Tumas Sheretz, and that will tilt the scale. Ula says, what we'll do is we'll just simply excuse one of the Tahorim to leave the premises, and now he'll be Bederch Rechoka, and that'll solve for the problem. Why didn't Rav like Ula's solution? So the Gemara went through in detail why Rav didn't like Ula's solution, because his solution created more problems. Vis-a-vis the Chagiga, it simply created more problems. So, good. And Rav Nachman didn't like it also from a practical standpoint. Rav Nachman says to Ula, who's gonna volunteer to excuse himself from Pesach Rishon? Okay, and then the Gemara went through a number of circumstances where you have a distribution of the Jewish people being Tameh, But the first scenario we dealt with where the majority of the Jewish people are tamei with tumas dav, a minority are tamei with tumas mace. What do we do under those circumstances? So Rav offered his opinion. Shmuel didn't love it, but Rav offered his opinion. We went through the scenario of the majority being tamei mace, the minority being tumas dav. So there we had a debate between Rav Huna and Rav Ada Ba'ava. For our minority are tumas dav. Are they allowed for a makeup on Pesach Sheni? And the Gemara had the debate between Rav Huna and Rav Ada Ba'ava. Rav Huna says no makeup. Rav Ada Ba'ava says yes makeup. The Gemara suggested that machlokus is riding on whether tuma dechuya tuma hutra, right? Seemingly a great nafkamina, but the Gemara says no. They both are in the camp of tuma dechuya, and it's just a question of degrees of dechuya. And then finally, the third scenario is a third being zav and a third being tar and a third being tamei meis. So what are we going to say regarding our tamei meis? And Rabbi Mani Bar Pata says they're not going to offer Karm Pesach that year at all, neither on Pesach Rishon nor on Pesach Sheni. Then we cover the Mishnah on the Amud Beis. The Mishnah talks about doing a Zrikas Dam of a Karban where the Karban is tamei. And the tzitz is able to be meratzes. The tzitz pushes that through so that you get a check for having offered Karban Pesach that year. If you're tummy with Tumas Guf, then the tzitz is not going to be meratzah. And the Mishnah concluded that the tzitz is going to be meratzah on Tumas Atahon. We're going to start with that tomorrow morning. Our first discussion of the Gemara is to make shalom between the implication of the Mishnah and a Braisa. The Braisa says that the tzitz is meratzah, ben b'shogig, ben b'mezid. And meanwhile, our Mishnah would seem to suggest that it only works b'shogig, not b'mezid. So we have two approaches of how to deal with that, Ravina and Rav Shila. Ravina says that as far as the meat becoming tamei, there it doesn't matter if the tuma came onto the meat, b'shogig or mezid. But what is significant vis-a-vis the powers of the tzitz is that the zrika was done b'shogig. Then and only then the tzitz is going to be meratzah. But if the zrika was done b'mezid, it's not going to work. The tzitz is not going to be meratzah. Rav Shila goes in the other direction. The zrika doesn't matter whether it's b'mezid or b'shogig. As far as the tzitz being meratzah, it's going to be meratzah, but only if the tuma landed on the karban, only b'shogig. Then and only then the tzitz is going to be meratzah. It's a little bit difficult to read that position in our Mishnah, but the Gemara did so. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here.